Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Right now, this man could catch a little bit. He could catch the rock a little bit. Reggie Wayne, what's going on, man?
I'm good, man. I'm here in Radio Row. We like sheep out here. We're just following the herd.
Well, we're glad you were herded in our direction, big man. Super Bowl champion Reggie Wayne, that is to you, mister. Well,
yes, it is. I apologize.
That's all good.
You know, because
we didn't wear the ring. Everybody's showing their hardware.
You
off.
Know what? I keep it in a safe place, man. I do. I take it out maybe once a year, and that's Super Bowl. I actually left it in my room.
Oh, don't say that.
I got it, man. It's in a safe.
Okay, good.
You know, I got it nice and tucked
all
in.
All right, good deal. Well, Reggie, we appreciate you stopping by. Obviously, you're familiar with great quarterback play,
yeah.
Playing with one of the best of all time in Peyton Manning. And, you know, the discussion for us, at least this week, and it's kind of interesting because there's this expectation that he's created with Tom Brady, and you just expect him to be great on Sunday.
Yeah.
And then there's this, well, really don't know with Jared Goff, right?
Yeah.
How much pressure is he going to be able to handle? Is the game going to be in his hands and all of this stuff? You played in this game.
Oh,
ultimately,
yeah.
Is it going to come down to that?
You know what? One thing about it is right in time for playoffs, they got a good run game going. So take advantage of C.J. Anderson, Ty Gurley. Whenever it gets tough, turn around and hand that ball off. Stay true to believe in it. Mm-hmm. This game is different. It's different for in all aspects that you can think of. So they do have a run game. Live by it. Believe in it. Turn around and hand it off. Only throw when you need to. You know, if you want to get into a battle with Tom Brady, I done been down that road before.
Right.
You know what I mean? So,
right.
You know, take advantage of it. And also, if you get that run game going, that's going to keep Tom Brady on that bench.
Mm-hmm.
So, don't get into a back and forth ego thing, you know, with the New England Patriots because that can be tough sledding.
You know, we talk a lot as Reggie Wayne joins us from the U.
Absolutely.
Florida you know, State, this hurts. Yeah. But anyway, Reggie's from the U, of course. And he's two trips to the Super Bowl, the big win over the Bears down in Miami.
Yeah.
But, you know, one thing we always talk about, the way the game has changed now, obviously so much about offensive football, was how the Patriots used to just grab and just you and Marvin Harrison, and they had to tweak those rules because they were mugging you guys, especially up in Foxborough.
You know what? You know, it's funny. My last 3 years in the league, I said, man, if the rules was like this when I first started, I'd still be playing. You know,
it's
like, you know, like it was an all-out brawl. Back in the day, it was a brawl.
You like, really had to get open.
Yes, you needed separation.
Yes,
you know what I mean. Because if not, they were grabbing and tugging you, slinging you down, and to me, in a lot of situations, I felt like it made me better. It made me a better receiver. It made me work harder on my craft. You know what I mean? Because knowing that they can do all these things to you, you didn't want them to touch you. No receiver wants you, no anybody to put their hands on you. You know what I mean? So it made me get better. It made me work harder. It made me stay after and do extra. And now it's to the point now where, you know, they put their finger on you. It's a problem.
Because we always talk about the rules. Real quick, just as a follow-up, man, one guy that we know has got the steals, but you don't really hear him speak much. What kind of teammate was Marvin Harrison? He's
awesome.
So enigmatic.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. You know, he's kind of like the Bill Belichick, right? And what I mean by that is what you see with Bill Belichick in the media is not what you see in person.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, when I'm standing next to him, I had a small cup of coffee in New England, right? 2 weeks. I was in New England for 2 weeks. And when I was there, I had him two times in a Pro Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody's having fun in the Pro Bowl, right?
Right.
So my small cup of coffee in New England, I'm sitting at my locker, and he walks up on me, and he's cracking jokes. He's smiling. He's, you know, he's doing during practice, he's actually talking. You know, it's like – I'm like, man, this is not anything that I expected to see. You know what I mean? So when it comes down to Marvin Harrison, he was the same way. His locker was right next to mine. And whenever I would walk in, he'd be sitting there. He'd be like, Reg, what'd you do last night? How's life? How's the family? You know,
right.
Like, he's human, man. You
right,
know,
right.
We think that he's just on mute all the time. But now he actually is a great teammate. I could, you know, whenever I was struggling with anything, football related outside of football, I was able to go to Marvin Harrison, and he was able to give me some insight.
That's interesting. What's been the transition for you from football to normal life? And I use that because obviously it's not normal. But, but you know, I mean, the regular things that go on in most people's lives, I'm guessing. And I'm saying that because you said it. You had a cup of coffee. And I remember talking about that when you went to New England. And I'll be honest, Reggie, I was like, what is Reggie doing?
Yeah.
I was like, What is the deal? And I get it. Guys want to continue to play. You know, you go and you see if it can happen.
Yep.
But what's that transition been like for you?
It's been great. I mean, I got four boys at the house.
Mm. What's their ages?
The ages 15, 9, 7, 5.
Okay. Right? Holy handful, Batman.
So I had a newborn, right around the time when I was going to New England. And it was time for me to be an all-pro dad, not an all-pro receiver. They were starting to get into sports. They were starting to, you know, I was at home a whole off season without having to go anywhere up until August.
Hmm.
You know, I'm doing all the dad stuff. I'm a soccer dad all of a sudden. You know what I mean? I'm going to get the friends and dropping them off to practice and things like that. And I enjoyed it. My 14 years in the league, my family never lived with me full time. They stayed in Florida. The curriculums in school were so different, so we didn't want to put that strain on them, right? So they came up to all the home games. We'll pick a game or two for them to come to for a away game. So it was a lot of stuff I missed.
So you were by yourself for the most part?
Absolutely. Right.
For the first 12 years, 15?
Man, all 14.
Wow.
All 14.
You know some guys do that, but that does put a strain.
Yeah, it does. You know what I mean? So it was time for me to go home. It was time for me to be in their lives. And that's what keeps me going. You know, I'm doing stuff with NFL Network right now, and when I'm not doing stuff with them, I'm at home. I'm helping with homework, and I am not smarter than a fifth grader. I can tell you that.
That work is hard, isn't it?
It is hard. I'm like, man, what is this?
You know what I do? I always go ask your mama.
Yeah, all the time. I'm like, man, where your mama at, man? She know this, man. You know, but it's exciting, man. Seeing you know your kids grow, and man, it. I sit back all the time and I say to myself, man, look at all the stuff that I miss. And I feel like I've been out 4 years.
Right.
I feel like I'm still playing catch up.
Hey, man, we're talking with Reggie Wayne, guys, six-time Pro Bowler and two trips to the Super Bowl, won one and lost one. Now, I want to ask you one thing about that Saints Super Bowl, because we've talked a lot about the momentum shifts when the coaches roll the dice.
Yes.
Were you, to a man, you can tell us, was there like, what the hell just happened on that onside kick at halftime?
You know what? I'm going to take you a little further. Both of my Super Bowls, 41 and 44, were in Miami, right? I went to the school in Miami. So it was like a reunion for me. You know what I mean? It was like a home game, you know. I'm from New Orleans, right? So I wanted to beat the brakes off of them. You know what I mean? You know,
yeah.
So we had halftime and we had all the momentum.
Yeah.
We getting the ball first, second half. We saying to ourselves, man, if we get this ball and we go down and score, they're in trouble. And I think they believe that also. That's why they gambled and did the onside kick. You know, they kicked the onside kick, caught us off guard, they recover it. Hank Basket didn't hold on to the ball, but that's okay. You know, we still love you. You know.
He called that man by his full name. Go ahead, Richard.
You know, you know, but when they got that return, when they got that recovery, it – changed all momentum, and we never can get out of that hole.
Mm.
So when a team gets momentum, it's hard, man. It's hard to get them out of that flow, and it was something that we never can get back out of. And it's not a good feeling the other team's confetti colors touch you on your shoulder pads. It's really not. And then me being from New Orleans, I hear about it every day.
Mm.
To this day, I still hear about
it. I know they don't let nothing go down.
Right. At all.
They don't let nothing go. I don't understand it, Reggie.
I'm not going to get into that.
I don't understand it.
You played for Coach Dungy, played for Coach Caldwell. It's Reggie Wayne with this guy's Pro Bowler, Super Bowl champ here on Dukes and Bell Live with Super Bowl. Just one more follow-up. Because this is one of those sports talk questions. Like guys on sports talk about it, pros might be like, oh, that's the stupidest question ever. You guys were undefeated that year with the Colts for a minute.
Yes.
And there was a conscious decision, like, well, let's rest the guys. Does that have any effect on y'all?
Yes, I think it does. And we were pissed. We were pissed. I think you need to. Football is fun, man.
Right.
It's a kid's game. I think, you know, being in sync matters. I really do think being in sync matters. And we were to the point to where we wanted to, we want to go undefeated. We're getting tired of hearing about the 72 Dolphins. I live in Miami. That's, right. that's all. They popping the cork every year. When nobody,
right.
But we did it again. You know what I mean? it's one of those things where I feel like if you're able to play, you play. And I think by us not playing the rest of the season, it kind of took something out of us. We still was able to make it to the big dance, but the way we were playing the regular season and then the way we played in the playoffs, it was totally different. And I think it kind of took something out of us. I don't know if it was because they made the conscious decision to not play us, throughout the rest of the regular season. But it was something that when the game was over, we all sitting at the bar talking about, man, why didn't they play us? You know what I mean? And I think it wore on us and warned us, and then all of a sudden we're in the playoffs and we didn't play as good as we should have. And I think if we just kept that same energy that we had, I think, we played better. You know right. what I mean? Now, granted, we still made it to the dance and it had nothing to do with, the outcome of the game or, things like that. But just think if we're in the Super Bowl and we're still undefeated.
Yeah. Right.
You know what I mean?
It's like, a different dynamic.
Different level.
It's a different feeling.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So you never know.
Reggie Wayne joining us here on Dukes and Bell, guys. Take us into the huddle.
Yeah.
Take us into practice
yeah.
of one of the all-time greats. You guys were great. You and Marvin. Listen.
Brandon Stokely, Dallas Clark.
Yeah, great squad.
Adrian James, yeah.
But Peyton Manning now, you know this. I mean, they're talking about, if he's not three, he's four. I mean, we're talking about all-time best. He may be one. Yeah. And I think, depending on what you think, take us inside of that. What was Peyton Manning like on a daily basis?
Yeah.
And then at practice, is he clowning around or is he like, let's get more reps?
First of all, he's a big jokester. And he's the corniest dude that I've ever – he thinks all his jokes are funny. And if you give him 10 jokes, maybe one of them will make you chuckle, But listen, there's nobody I know in this world that prepares harder than Peyton Manning.
He was amazing.
I really feel like, and people laugh when I say that, I think his day is planned out every single day of his life. I think he sets his alarm up at, for 7 a.m. I think at 7:05 he's going to brush his teeth. 7:10 he's going to put his socks on. 7:15, he's going to tell his wife, he's going to ask his wife, what you cooking for breakfast? Or probably made, knowing
yeah.
him,
right? Yeah.
So, every day is planned out. There's nothing going to catch him by surprise. He's going to be prepared. He's going to have everything laid out and ready to go. And that's the way he was in practice. That's the way he was in huddle. Probably the last 3 years of us playing together, he ran the practice offensively. He ran all the plays. He dug in his pants. I don't know where he dug it from, but he dug in his pants and he pulled out a piece of paper off all the plays that he wanted to run and the way he wanted them to run. You know what I'm saying? So the dude is prepared. You're not going to catch him off guard. And as a teammate, as a football player, you respect that. Mm. Now, granted, he doesn't have a social life, but
the sacrifice.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He sacrificed it. At the end of the day, when you look back, we're talking about is he one of the best ever to play. So I respect that. Great teammate.
He ever yell at you?
And I yell back.
Okay.
I yell back.
Okay.
Only person I don't yell back at is my mom.
I understand. I understand. Everybody always wonders about the dynamic of these star receivers and the quarterback, how they get along. How is he?
What is funny? I think with us in Indianapolis all those years, we actually liked each other.
Right.
We really felt like we were brothers, right? And brothers argue. Brothers get into it. But guess what? When it's over with,
we're brothers.
We're brothers.
That's right.
We can still say, man, let's go grab a beer or something. You know what I mean? Like, whatever the case may be. But at the same time, we all putting up the same sacrifice. We all respect each other's grind, everybody's hustle. We all working on our craft to get better. Mm-hmm. And you understand that. And that's, I think at the end of the day, once everybody realizes that, I think that made us a better football team.
Everybody says, Tony, don't you just treat you like a man, and everybody Absolutely. Loves playing for him.
Absolutely. He was like, we were brothers, and that was like the dad.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? Like, we didn't want to let him down. You know what I mean? Like, we took pride into – you know, going through a season in the off season and not being in the headlines for something negative.
Right.
Like, we took pride in that. Like, we didn't want to be that team. And at the end of the day, when guys would get in trouble, Coach Dungy would put it on the overhead. You know, it was overheads. They didn't want videos and stuff. He put it on the overhead, and he would show the clipping in the newspaper or in the media of who would get in trouble and what they did. You know what I mean? And we didn't want to be a part of that. We wanted to be a family base. We wanted to represent the organization well. And, you know, and best of all, like, we wanted to represent the name on our back of our jersey.
Yeah.
We wanted to do it the right way. And he did a great job. And it's funny you say that, Coach Dungy. What I think, like, with guys, we get so caught up in the game right now where, you know, this guy is a great mastermind in offense and defense and this thing. He does these things this way. I think we get lost into finding the head coaches that do a great job of leading men.
It's a big deal. It's a big deal.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just getting men to go out there and do it the right way. Do it the right way, and that's Coach Dungy. That was Coach Caldwell, who followed Coach Dungy on his way up. You know, and we took pride in that, man. We understood it.
Do me a favor, man. Your handler's looking over here. I'm like, Reggie's having a good time with us. He's enjoying this interview. Okay, he's relaxed. He's chill.
Lay all
right,
back.
These other people can wait a few more minutes. All
right, the sheep go
we're
over
kind
there.
Of a big deal here in the ATL. All right. There we go, Reggie Wayne.
Appreciate it, man. Right on, man. Appreciate you guys.
Those are questions we've been asking for years about that Colts team. Appreciate you giving the insight, man.
It's awesome, man. It was great. It was a great journey, man. We talk to each other every day. We got chats.
Crazy.
Well, we still talk. Whenever somebody has something going on, we all show up. And that's kind of how it was when we were there. Whenever there's anything community-related, we all showed up. We represented each other like we were family. And that's what it's about, man. In the game today, it's just individualized. Where guys, once practice is over, he goes here, he goes there, he goes. And that's – I get it. You know what I mean? But at the end of the day, you're together in that locker room more than you're together with your family. Right. You know what I mean? So, it gets lost, man.
Reggie, thank you, man.
Appreciate it, brother.
Right continued Cheers. Success.
Hey, man, I'm loving it, man. I'm about to go out here and join the rest of the sheet.
Watch out. There's a Hurricane fan's going to mug at him, John Michaels, on the way out.
Oh, there he is. All right.
Thanks, Reggie Wayne, guys.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.